I don't apologize, but I'm a little weepy this morning. This presence just came on me as we were worshiping here, and I just thank you, Father. Glory to God. He is worthy. He alone is worthy. You alone are worthy, Lord. We love you, Jesus. We worship you and glorify you. Thank you for your presence, Lord. We don't want to take it lightly, Father. We don't want to take anything that you give us for granted, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, for your presence. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Glory to the Lamb. Praise God. If you have your Bible this morning, let's just pray and then we'll get started this morning. Father, we just thank you for your presence. We thank you for your love. We thank you for the ability to worship you and love you, to give our hearts to you. That the love that you gave to us, Father, we can give back to you. And we can allow that love to dominate us. We thank you for that, Father. We thank you because you're a giver. And Father, we ask you for truth this morning, Lord. We ask you to open our eyes, unveil our hearts, Father, that we might receive the truth, Lord. Unveil to us, Lord, your word, which is truth. It's you speaking to us, Lord. We thank you for it now in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this morning I'm going to share a few things about... about Him. Hallelujah. About the Lord. Amen. Who He is, who we are, what we have received, and how we can walk with Him. And most of you probably heard a lot of things I'll say this morning, but it just came afresh to me this week and here late recently that God, He is drawing us into a place of full surrender and complete commitment to Him. And within that, there are a lot of different things. There's being faithful, there's being, you know, walking in the Spirit, you know, and there's walking in love. And that is walking in the Spirit. Because when you begin to walk in the love of God, when we understand His love, and we know that He has loved us, and that we are loved children of a loved God, that we have received a nature of love, then it is possible for us. He said, this is a new commandment that I give to you. It's not like under the Old Testament they had the Ten Commandments, didn't they? Love God, you know, don't steal from your neighbor, don't lie about your neighbor, don't covet, don't make any graven idols to God. So, but Jesus said something here in John chapter 13. He says, a new commandment, John 13 verse 34. In verse 35, he said, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this love, we could say, shall all men know. Now that's pretty definite. They're going to know. They're not going to think. They're going to know that you are my disciples if you have love one to another. Jesus is here and he is the fulfillment of the law. Amen. Jesus came. There's no part of the law that he didn't fully fulfill. But he said, you had the commandments of God. But they're wrapped up in these two things, to love God, to love our neighbor as ourselves. He said, this is the commandment This is the law that I'm setting before you now, that you love one another as I have loved you. So in other words, he would have to be saying, Jesus is basically saying, with the same love that I'm loving you with now, you're to love one another. So if we're going to love one another with that same love, then it must be possible for us to do so. Or Jesus would not have said, love one another as I have loved you. How did he love us? It says, the Bible says he willingly gave, didn't he? It says, for God, John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believed in him would not perish but have eternal life. The love that Jesus loved with was a love that was unselfish. It was a love that was giving. It was a love that was the kindest love that we could imagine, the kindest thing that a person could do, to give their entire life for all of humanity, for all of mankind. Jesus came. Well, brother, he came for me. Yeah, he came for you. But he also came for the sinner. He also came for our worst enemies. He came for all mankind. And the same love that Jesus was loving with, talking to his disciples. Jesus is getting ready to leave. He says, hey, you love one another. And he said to Peter, Peter says, oh, he says to him, Lord. Simon Peter said in him, verse 36, says, Lord, where are you going to go? Jesus answered, where I go, you can't follow me now, but you will follow me afterwards. What's he talking about? Where are we going to follow him? We're going to follow him into that new birth and into that place of love that he already said we can walk in. He said, you're going to walk in a love just like I walk in, Peter. You can't follow me right now, but you will. Because what had to happen was Jesus had to die on the cross, didn't he? He had to fulfill the punishment for all sin, for all men, for all time. So that whosoever will may come and be born again. Whosoever will may come and receive of this very nature, this very love. And by this love, the way you allow that love to dominate you is the way men are going to see that you're my disciple. You know, it didn't say if you had great faith, did it? But Jesus says if you love one another. So this morning, I'm just led of the Lord to share a few. I believe the Lord wants me to share some characteristics of this love. What are some characteristics of this love that you and I have on the inside of us? The same kind of love that Jesus had. We're not talking about human love. Now, human love is selfish, isn't it? It wants what it wants, when it wants it, how it wants it. That's the nature of the flesh. And some people have said, well, it's like a mother's love, but really it's more than that. Because a mother's love only engulfed in the love of God is really true. Because we see many mothers who, you know, they take their children and they care about them. They love them in a human way. But it's still, you know, you see people that want to live their life through their child. Or they want to do this with their child. They want them to become a doctor, be great. Why? So that I look good. Is that true? Sometimes we see that, don't we? But in God, there's a God love that's selfish, that wants the best for their fellow man, that wants their best for others. He says, love one another as I have loved you. How did he love us? Because we deserved it? No. Not because we deserved it, was it? He loved us while we were yet unlovely. Romans 5:8. says that while we were still sinners, we were the enemies of God. We were against Him. Romans 5:8. You've heard this verse, I'm sure, most of you. But God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. When we were unlovely, when we were enemies of God, when we didn't know Him, when we were fighting God. So, well, I wasn't fighting God, I just didn't want anything to do with Him. Well, sin has two parts. It could be an act of rebellion or a passive resistance. You know, some people are just actively rebelling against God. Other people are just, you know, well, you know, I just don't want to deal with it. You know, other people say, well, my God, you know. A lot of times, these people that rebel so hard, sometimes they come in quicker. But God's working, amen? He gets them all, doesn't He? That we pray for. Hallelujah. But he can have, they can have that. But if God loved us when we were ungodly, how much more does He love us as children now? His own very own children. We are His children. So as I said, there's human love, which is more, you know, we think about our own selves and what do I get out of this? You know, how do I get something from this? You know, you try to strike the best deal for you. And you're not so concerned about everybody else, but you want the best deal for you. That's human love. That's natural love. But we're talking about the God kind of love, the love that moves in when we receive Christ as Lord. So, well, how come we're not seeing that more? Well, we have to allow it. It's a fruit of that reborn human spirit. And we have to decide and allow and do what's necessary to allow that love to dominate us. And when that love dominates us, things start changing around us. People start seeing that you're His disciple because you have love one for another. Hallelujah. So that love that's in us, we know it doesn't just automatically grow up and it's not full grown, even though we do see it. We start seeing. He said, this is how they know that we're his disciples, the love that we have for each other. Then it also in 1 John, let me go there for a moment. Verse 3:14, it says, we know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loves not his brother abides in death. And he's not talking about physical death. He's talking about a spiritual death. He doesn't have the love of God in him, cannot know God because he's spiritually dead. He's not alive unto God. He's separated from God. But when we receive Jesus, that love moves in, that nature moves in, and they know, we know. It's not, we don't think, do we? That's pretty definite. We know that we have eternal life. We know that we've gone from death unto life. Why? Because we love the brethren. A love for the brethren begins to rise up on the inside from that nature that we received from Him. But that love, we have to start practicing that kind of love. We have to allow that love to dominate us. We need to realize that love is expressed from the heart. It's expressed from our reborn spirit, the love of God, this kind of love. It's not a human love. But it does come naturally to us when we're born again as we yield to Him, as we minister unto Him. And sometimes we forget when we walk in love, we are walking in the Spirit because it is a part of our reborn human spirit. You see, they that walk in the Spirit, what? They're the sons of God. They that are led of the Spirit. the human spirit, the born-again nature, that part of us that received from Him. So, Ephesians 4:32, one of my first points here this morning on some of our characteristics of love. Ephesians 4:32. First thing is, I want to say, is that love forgives, doesn't it? Why did God send His Son? So that He could be that sacrifice. We would just be forgiven and we would be changed to be like Him. That sin would be forgotten, wouldn't it? So His love forgives and forgets. Ephesians 4:32, it says, "Be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you." So we could say love and forgiveness go hand in hand. Amen? And we can forgive as God, for Christ's sake, because of what Jesus did, has forgiven us. We can forgive to the same depth that God forgave us. We can choose to forgive, and we can choose not to remember or hold that thing against a person ever again. The trouble is, we have a mind. And our mind wants to bring thoughts, amen? And that's where our work comes in, is to cast them down. Say, no, I'm a love person of a love God, and I've forgiven. I remember my neighbor was doing a job for me one time, and we wanted to add a little sidewalk that goes around to my garage door. There was a sidewalk to it, but it went around the back of the house, and we wanted to bring just a little path around the front. And he needed to make some money, and he was a cement man that, or at least he drove a cement truck, and I knew he probably got the cement for free, but we made a deal, and he said how much it would be and how wide it's going to be and exactly how it's going to be. And he came over one day, and we'd talked about it a little bit. I said, well, when I've got, you know, a little extra save, we'll do the job or something like that. But I had just enough probably to do it, and I hadn't said anything to him, but he came over, and I knew he needed some money, so I let him do the job. Well, he did the job, and it was okay, but it wasn't really quite as wide as we'd talked about. You know, it was just a little narrow path, you know, and we wanted to make a little wider path, you know, which meant he would have had to dug out the roots, and that was the whole point of the extra, you know, the good price he got. You know? So he was sure, but he came, and he was sure I didn't like it. And I said, well, I thought we were going to have it a little wider, but it'll be okay. I have to forgive him, Lord, because he's my neighbor and I am a testimony to him. I'm not saying if he had been willing to fix it, but I knew he couldn't. He really didn't have the money to do it. He was in trouble and later lost his home and the home that his mother had given him because he was hooked on, you know, he had a gambling problem. And we talked to him several times about the Lord and other people had. And he assured us his heart was right with God, but, you know, sometimes people have strongholds that we're not there to talk about. We're there to love. Amen? So love forgives. And sometimes, you know, that thought wants to come back to your mind, doesn't it? Well, he did me wrong, you know? No, they didn't do me wrong. The insults of those or the things that are wrong to me fall on Christ. They don't fall on me. They fall on Him. I allow it to fall on Him. He bore it for me. His love lives in me, and I can choose to forgive. Now, if you want to, you can say, I've got rights. I've got rights. And that's not right. And if you want to fight for your rights, you're not going to walk in the love of God. You're going to walk in the flesh. And you're going to reap from the flesh corruption. You know, but sometimes people want their rights. No matter what it does to somebody else, no matter how it might hurt them, no matter if it destroys them, they've got their rights. And they don't have to put up with this anymore. Sometimes it happens in a marriage. I can't love him anymore. Well, maybe I'm getting ahead of myself, but that's okay. You know, or I can't love her anymore. But love can. But love can. There's hope for all. Hallelujah. You see, there's something that the born-again believer has. See, unborn-again people don't have everything you have. You have the ability to expect God to move for you. To see your children born again. To see your family saved. And when we walk in the law of love that God set in motion for the new covenant, things begin to happen in our behalf. Amen? And we can walk in that love. It doesn't mean we're dormant. You know, sometimes people say, well, there's something wrong with you, brother. I wouldn't let him do that to you. Somebody may say that to you, but they're not doing it to you. They are doing it to you, but it's not. It's through you to Christ, the Christ in you. It's not going to affect me because I know my Father. He loves me. I have a relationship with Him. And it's a love nature from a love God that dominates me. You see, selfishness is of the human love, but forgiveness is of God kind of love. That He forgives, He forgets, He lets go. He releases. And we can see that the God kind of love is perfect, isn't it? Doesn't mean we're perfect. Sometimes we don't express it perfectly. But there's nothing wrong with the love that He gave us. His love is still perfect, isn't it? His love fully forgives. His love chooses to forget. Think about it. He forgets our sin as far as the east is from the west. Now I realize, but you know, you can forgive someone in our ability. Maybe we can't totally forget, but in the sense that we remember and there's no pain. It doesn't affect me anymore. It doesn't affect my flesh. I don't allow it to influence how I react or how I operate. I said, no, I've forgiven. Yeah, but I feel. See, that's the flesh. The body and the emotions feel. But the Spirit of God says, I forgave. I choose to forgive. I choose to forget. I choose not to hold it up against a person. And if, as you fellowship with God, and as you practice and continue in that, then the feelings change. And soon there's what? Compassion for them. And we're praying for them. And we're expecting God to move in their behalf. And things begin to change, not only for you, but for them. And your faith begins to rise. Hallelujah. Say, hey, my Father is a good Father. And you can say, hey, I'm walking in divine health, devil. I'm walking in the love of God. You can't affect me. Walking in the love of God is walking in the Spirit of God. It is walking with God. The God kind of love. It's not interested so much in what it can get, but it's interested in what it can give. Amen? The God kind of love, sometimes, you know, it's not selfish. And it doesn't go into human reasoning, doesn't try to reason things out. Anybody ever try to, you know, your mind and the enemy try to reason with you? Oh, well, that's not so bad, you know. They did do you wrong, you know. And I'm not saying it's wrong to have a thought, but we don't have to act on them. Those thoughts may come because there's a world system that's constantly telling you, especially in today, sue them, get your money, you deserve it. I had a minor accident, I guess it was Thursday. Somebody said, oh, does your neck hurt? That's worth $10,000. I said, no, my neck doesn't hurt. I think I'll take healing, thank you. And my neck didn't hurt. And it wasn't anything major. It was very minor. And I was even just thinking about, you know, telling him, go ahead, you know, go on. But he wanted to call the police, which I'm all for. I was happy, and he told him the truth. Praise the Lord. Just came over to my lane, almost ran me off the road, but I'm alive. Thank you, Jesus. My angels were at work. Hallelujah. Glory. And I'm here today. I didn't crash. Glory. This is a great place to be. I'm telling you, you start getting thankful, you know. Maybe at first, you know, everybody said, well, did you cry out, Jesus? No, I didn't. I'm sorry to say I didn't. I didn't really think about it. I was trying to stay on the road. I was trying to stay alive. But I was thankful. I did thank God. I said, oh, thank God I'm all right. You know, your heart beats a few times over. And hallelujah. But the Bible says that the love of God, well, we'll get to that in just a minute. So what is this love? This the God kind of love is what we're talking about. It's not human love, but the God kind of love. There's characteristics to that, to this love. It forgives, it forgets, it doesn't hold things, does it? It's a fruit of our spirit, of our reborn human spirit. Galatians 5:22. Let's go there for a minute. I want us to see that. Or I want to see it anyway. Galatians 5:22 says, but the fruit of the Spirit. Now, it has a capital S here, but we know that that's dealing with our reborn human spirit. When you go into the Greek, it's pneuma, and it's discerned whether it's your spirit or God's spirit by the context it's written in. And if you listen to the Born Again Trail by Dave Roberson, you'll realize more and more what he's talking about here. He said, but if we live in the Spirit, oh, wait a minute, 22. But the fruit of the Spirit, that new nature you've received, it is love. It is love. It's joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Why? Because love is that law. And when you're walking in love, you are walking in that Spirit. You're walking by the power of your new nature, by empowered also by the Holy Spirit, who also helps us. Amen? Now, the Holy Spirit's the one that gave you that nature. He regenerated you. He changed it from darkness to light. And Jesus and the love of God moved in. Amen? Hallelujah. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 13. He says, well, I know he's going to get there, right? Yes, I am. All right, 1 Corinthians 13. Let's just read the first three verses first. It says, though I speak with the tongue of men and of angels and have not charity. Now, this is the King James, and we know that charity is basically love in action or a deed that's done, right? We see a charity's here. You know, people give money, they give things. They call that charity. And I was talking to one person, they were like, well, I just, you know, it says charity's the biggest thing. I give all the time. You know, I'm always giving the stuff, you know. And he's talking about the love of God. The same word is agape in the Greek. It's the same as when he said, you know, this is the new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, that you agape one another. Agape is the God kind of love. It's not the human love, but the God kind of love. So we can say, though I speak with the tongue of men and of angels and have not love, or the God kind of love, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And I think it's interesting here that this chapter is written right between Paul's explanation of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Because I think part of the Corinthian problem was their motivation. And he said, I want you to get your motivation right. That it be by love. You see, Jesus was moved with compassion and healed the sick. He was moved with compassion and taught them as sheep having no shepherd. He was moved upon with that love. Right from that nature. That you and I have received, the same one that Jesus had, that same kind of love. But whereas tinkling brass or a clanging cymbal, tinkling cymbal, sounding brass or tinkling cymbal, verse 2, and though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so I could remove mountains, and have not love, I am nothing. And that always amazes me. Knowledge is wonderful. And people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. But you can have all knowledge and understand all the mysteries, have all the gifts operating in our life, and still we could be, it profits me nothing. He says, it's not going to profit you a whole lot to see all these people helped if you don't understand there's a love on the inside of you that you can walk in and that I want to operate out of. Though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not love, it profits me nothing. I could give everything I have. I can operate in these gifts. Hallelujah. Without God's love, it's not going to profit me anything. It says it profits you. I am nothing. It says if I have all that, I'm nothing. Paul's saying, if I don't have the love of Christ, if I don't understand that love, then all these gifts are vain to me. They're nothing to me. Because they operate from a place where Jesus moved in, a place of love that he gave to every believer, and they can operate in it one to another. And when they do operate in it, they are operating in the Spirit. When we do forgive, like Jesus said to forgive. And I know that's difficult sometimes for people on our flesh, but it's life to our spirit. When we release, when we forgive, when we let go, God comes. He fills us with more. You know, we call it a letting go, and really it's, I mean, we're letting go of something terrible, you know. Something that is harmful to us. You know, a lot of sicknesses, they say, are caused when people don't, are what? They're in turmoil, they're under stress. They're not forgiving. They're holding it in. It waxes against us. Waxes against the body. Against their soul. I know some ministers that wouldn't forgive over something, sometimes even very small. And it costs them their whole ministry. And sometimes it costs people their life. Because they wouldn't judge themselves in the love of God. Because they had to have their right. It's my right. We have the rights that God gave us. And that's to stand in the love of God. That's to stand in a place of forgiveness. To stand before Him whole. To stand before Him where we know we're forgiven and that we can forgive as He did. Know why I'm on the forgiveness so much today, but it's a large part of walking in love. Because how many know? How many ever have a chance to forgive? Today you'll probably get a chance to forgive somebody. I probably have a chance to walk in love today. Be kind when someone doesn't speak so kind to you. Oh, he cut me off in traffic. Uh-oh. You know? What do we say? No, love is kind, patient. What's wrong with this light? It's always so long. Well, I mean, in our church, it's wonderful. We got a little extra time to pray in tongues, don't you? You know, hallelujah. That's what I try to think of. Say, Lord, what can I do? How can I make the most of this opportunity? But let's move on. Even though we could operate in all those things and do that, the Bible still said in John 13:35, did I read that scripture? I think I did, yeah. That all men will know His disciples by this love. They won't think you are. They won't hope you're His disciples. Said they'll know. I think that's pretty definite. I mean, if you know something, you don't wonder about it, do you, Joe? All right. I didn't think so. If I know something, I don't wonder. I know. Hallelujah. And I know my name's in heaven. Everybody says, oh yeah, I know that. And I know the love of God lives in me. We read, we're shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Ghost. Amen. Romans 5:5. We didn't read that. We read 8, which said that He loved us even while we're yet sinners. But if you back up, Romans 5:5, what does He say? That same love that was in Jesus. And I'm for, I want all these things to operate. But I think as we see the love of God and we walk in the love of God, you're going to see more things operate in your life. You know, when we don't walk in love and we're in strife with somebody, and then we want to believe God for something. Yeah. Something to think about. But it says, verse 5 of Romans 5, verse 5 says, and hope makes not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. So we've got that love. It's shed abroad there. The Holy Ghost shed it abroad in there. When your nature was created, love was deposited. The God kind of love was deposited. Now this is the born again trail, right? I think we're kind of on that. Because we're seeing that that same nature, that same love that's in there is a fruit of that Spirit. And that can grow. But it has to be nurtured. We have to think about it. It's kind of like what Gary was saying. Well, why isn't more happening? Well, we're not thinking about it. You know, we're not realizing the Holy Spirit's with me. Hey, God's love's in me. God's love's in you. And as we're fellowshipping with Him on a daily basis, even as you go about your daily routine, you're just thinking about things. You're thinking about Him. You're meditating on God. He said, what perfect peace have they whose mind is stayed on me? And you're thinking about that love that's in you. That love sees something. Sees that man that needs help. It says, oh, let me pray for you. It's moved with compassion. But if we just don't think about it, if we never think about it, then we're probably not going to really act on it. That's something that the Lord was bringing back to my mind. Yeah, we need the gifts of the Holy Ghost. We need to teach on them. We need to hear about it. But my Bible says they'll know you're his disciples when you have love one for another. This same kind of love that Jesus had. Because there's going to be some Jesus actions that follow that love. Amen? There's going to be some miracles that take place through you because his love's in you. There's going to be some changed lives that take place because you allow that love to dominate. And you can hear his voice. Hallelujah. Yeah, you can hear his voice. Not Pastor Dave or Brother Gary or Tim or even me. But you can hear his voice. That's what I love about the prayer center. The message that Pastor Dave teaches here is he's not trying to get you to listen to him. He's trying to get you to listen to God and to spend time with God and for you to hear him for yourself so that when you hear him whisper in your ear, I love you. You know that he loves you. And no man can beat it out of you. That's why when Paul was beaten with stripes, I believe he knew, my Father loves me. And the love of God poured from within him. That's what sustained him. That's why after he was beaten, he could worship God in the prison with Paul and Silas at night, worshiping God. They knew there was something within them. After being beaten, after being chained up, they're saying, Lord, we worship you. Because their mind wasn't on the physical, it wasn't to the natural, but it was on the spiritual love that lived on the inside of them, the God kind of love that set them free. They hadn't forgotten that love that moved in and moved the other out. Hallelujah. Kept moving it out. Kept growing on the inside. You know, if something gets large enough in you, then nothing else can get in. Amen? Now, I believe, you know, I don't know anybody yet that's quite perfected in that love. But I think we're pressing toward it. And I think as we seek after God in these last days, let's just believe we're going to start seeing that. Amen? People that advance to that place where all we are is love. Because that's who he is. That all that he is able to saturate us. When anyone touches us, love oozes out, as Dave says. Because when that's what you are, it's not a difficult thing. Because we're transformed from glory to glory, from faith to faith, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. That same Spirit that raised him from the dead dwells in you. That same power lives in us. That resurrection life is in you. You're not a dead old sinner. You're a saint. And you're a son, and you're an heir, and you're a loved child of a loved God. And you have the ability to love. Hallelujah. I'm not getting real far today, but that's okay. One step at a time. One step at a time. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Well, let's see. Where are we at? We're on verse 4 of 1 Corinthians. Charity or love. Verse 4, 1 Corinthians 13. Another characteristic of love, suffers long and is kind. Now, I think the Amplified says it's patient and kind. Love endures long and is patient and kind. Now, some people endure long, but they're not always patient and kind about it. We endure long because we have to. You know, sometimes a husband or wife has to endure some things. Her husband has to endure some things from his wife, but he's not always kind about it. Maybe she has to suffer a few things. You know, she's suffering a little bit, but she's making sure he knows she's suffering. See, that's not the love of God. It says it. It's patient. I'm just giving, you know. But the love of God suffers with kindness and patience, amen, is kind about it. It's thinking about his fellow man, putting them first. How's that going to make them look? If I exalt myself and get my rights, and I do what the company said I could do, but it makes my boss look really bad, how's it going to make him look? Yeah, but I'm going to advance. It's going to make me great. Look what I can do. I is that natural human love, isn't it? Whoops. Okay. But what he can do in and through me, how can I make my boss look good, Lord? How can I work harder to help him? But they're not paying me. Did he tell you to work there? I'm not saying he did or didn't, but you're working there now, right? Amen. And you got opportunity to practice love, right? That's a good thing. Hallelujah. It's not always fun on the flesh, but it's a joy to the Spirit. And the love of God sets us so free when we not only realize that we have that, but when we walk in that, we allow it to dominate us. How many knows it feels good, doesn't it? When you see somebody else advance over you, and you see them be exalted by God, and you see how God's moving in their life. Maybe it was your prayers that moved them forward. And sometimes even in that, we'll say, Lord, well, what about me, Lord? He hasn't forgotten you. He hasn't forgotten you. Advancing in the love of God, allowing it to grow, practicing it, disciplining that flesh. Hallelujah. What joys there can be, because we don't intend to be so caught up, you know, in the things that are happening to us. You know, anybody ever been through a terrible trial, you just didn't even realize you went through it? You hardly even recognize it. You knew he was in it, but not really, you know. It was just kind of, you know, everybody else thought, boy, he's in terrible trial. And it just didn't affect you that much. Why? Because your mind was on him. Your thoughts were with him. You're walking in that love. So it suffers long and is kind. Well, suffering long usually deals with people, yes. But alongside that, verse 7, I think, is kin to that. It says, bears all things. Amen. Or in Amplified, it says, love bears up under anything and everything that comes, is ever ready to believe the best of every person. Well, I just don't know if I can take this anymore. Love can. Love can. I don't know if I can love that person anymore. They do that one more time, I've had it. Love can. Love can. You see, something that changed even my life. Because sometimes I've had those thoughts. And I was a person that was insecure when I married my wife. I had fear in my life. Sometimes I like to blame her. I wasn't as kind as I should be. And she had to endure and suffer long with me. She did pretty good. She did good. Huh? What's that? And she did good. But the thing that began to really change, and I'm not saying there weren't changes along the way. There were a lot of changes in me. I loved God. I prayed in the Spirit. I sought God, and I continued to seek God. And that's what really changed my life. But we'd been married about four years, I think, maybe five. And we began to read out of the Amplified Bible, 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 8, every single day. Well, you see, when you start thinking about love, then you kind of want to, you know, it becomes forefront in your mind and in your thinking. And how many know what you really think about is what you ultimately really do? That's what meditation is called, meditation in the Bible. See, Jeremiah said that we would meditate to do all that was written in the law. See, we've got a law of love. That's our law. And in that law, you're not going to steal from anybody. You're not going to covet your neighbor's stuff. You know, you're not going to go out and lie to people or kill somebody, are you? If you're in that love, a God kind of love. See, you're not going to hate God because He is love. You're going to love God. You're going to know Him. Hallelujah. Well, so that's one that's closely related. We bear all things. And that's when I said that, you know, love can. Love can. And we can. And you can. Because the love nature is within us. But that's what I began to do. And that's something that I recommend for everybody. If you don't have an Amplified Bible, maybe you can find one online or borrow neighbors. And 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 8. Just write it out for yourself. Write it on a piece of paper. Type it out. Write it out by hand if you don't, you know. Carry that card around with you. Maybe you need it more times a day, you know, twice a day, three times a day. We want the love of God to be forefront in our knowledge and our thinking. A lot of times we know God loves us and we know we should walk in love, but how many remembers everything about love, everything about God all the time? You just do the right thing, you know. But when we have it in front of us, when we start thinking about it, oh yeah, it's not conceited. It's not arrogant. It's not inflated with pride. Lord, oh, Father, now I'm giving something the Holy Spirit can bring back to my remembrance. Amen? The Word of God, the truth of His Word. You're a little short the way you spoke to that person. Oh, yeah, sorry, I apologize. And you can make it right. Get back in love. Get back in the plan of God. Get back in the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay, verse 5 we're on. That was verse 4 and 7, I believe. But, verse 5, love does not behave itself unseemly, seeks not her own. In the Amplified, it says, love, God's love in us, does not insist on its own rights or its own way. Now, we may have touched on some of these things already, but that means that the divine love is not selfish, and it doesn't put itself and its own interests first. Do we seek our own interests first, or do we put other person's welfare first? And I think that's a question that I like to ask myself and is good for us to ask ourselves to see if we're really walking in the love of God. Do I put my interest first or am I putting the other fellow's interest first? You know, and a lot of times we see the church at large and believers that we walk in the natural human love instead of walking in the Spirit and walking in the love of the God, in the God kind of love. Amen. So we kind of talked about that, saying, hey, I've got a right. I've got rights, especially in America. You know, we like to, you know, right now it's my right. You know, they're taking away my rights. Well, there may be freedoms being removed and things happening. But we also have rights with God. to pray, to forgive, to love, to be long-suffering, to bear up under anything and everything that comes. And verse 5, okay, that's where I was at. Yeah, the second part says this. Does not behave itself unseemly, seeks not her own, is not easily provoked, and thinks no evil. And in the Amplified Bible, verse 5, it says, love, God's love in us, does not insist on its own rights or its own way, for it is not self-seeking, it is not touchy or fretful or resentful, takes no account of the evil done to it, pays no attention to a suffered wrong. Love takes no account of the suffered wrong. You know anybody, you ever see anybody that started counting all their wrongs, you know? Maybe you've done that, or I've done that, you know? This person, you know, and they strike them off their list, you know, they did me wrong. And they got somebody else, they strike them off their list, you know. Not that they're going to kill them or anything, but they're just not going to talk to them anymore, you know. I remember when I was 4 years old, I was in an airport in New York City, and I still remember it. I was only 4 years old, and I never forgot it. I overheard this lady, and she said it with such venom and such hatred. Something her sister had done something to her, apparently, and that's the only words I remember. She said, I'll never talk to her again as long as I live. And it just, I felt the evilness of it. I felt the death of it. And I remember saying in my heart at 4 years old, I don't want to be like that. I don't want that in my life. And it seems kind of strange to me sometimes, but I think God was already working in my heart. Saying, you don't want to be like that, son. You know, you don't want to be like that. We want to forgive. We want to release. And if we have done those things, there's mercy. Hallelujah. We can go to the mercy throne. I don't want to leave an evil here, you know. But we don't want to count those things that are done wrong to us. We don't want to hold it against ourselves, against God, against anybody else. Because God's not your problem. He's your answer. Somebody else is not your problem. God's your answer. And the love of God's in you, and you can. Amen. Let's stand for a minute. Let's just say this. I am a loved child of a loved God. I'm going to let His love dominate me. I'm going to walk in the Spirit. I'm going to let His love grow. I'm going to be more loving and more kind the next time you see me. In Jesus' name, amen.